Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Ever wondered why some relationships just, click effortlessly?
Yeah.
While others feel like you're constantly trying to solve some kind of endless puzzle?
Yeah, it's something a lot of people grapple with, that search for understanding connection.
Exactly. And today we're doing a deep dive into a perspective that, claims to unlock some of these mysteries. We're unpacking insights from Corey Wayne's book, How to Be a 3% Man, the one about winning the heart of the woman of your dreams.
Right.
And we're also looking at a really interesting Reddit discussion about applying these ideas in today's sort of informal college dating scene.
And what's really striking, I think, is the premise itself. It's pretty bold.
That only 3% of men get it.
Yeah, that only this small percentage truly understand women and attraction dynamics. And this material supposedly offers a roadmap to join that elite group. So our mission today really is to pull out the key nuggets, the core ideas from these sources, give you a shortcut to being, let's say, well-informed on this particular approach.
Okay, let's start there then. This central concept, the 3% man. What does that even mean? Like, what does it mean to be one? And why does the book suggest so many men feel like they're, starting from square one with relationships?
Well, the author, Corey Wayne, he talks a lot about his own experiences, his past struggles.
He frames it personally.
Exactly. He details trying the whole friendship route, wanting women who weren't available, feeling like the typical nice guy stuff just wasn't working, finishing last.
That feeling of confusion must be relatable for a lot of guys, thinking you're doing the right things, but it backfires.
Totally. And the book basically argues this confusion comes from a fundamental misunderstanding of women's emotional responses, how attraction actually works from their perspective.
So it challenges that just be nice idea pretty directly.
It does. It suggests niceness alone isn't the key driver for attraction in the way many assume.
Okay, so one of the big ideas underpinning this is the concept of masculine and feminine energy. Mm. Now, the book stresses this isn't just about, biological sex, right?
Yeah.
It's more about core operating principles.
Exactly. It's about energies within the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The book posits that men, ideally, should be grounded in their masculine energy.
Which means?
Things like having purpose, direction, strength, certainty, being the rock, so to speak.
Okay.
And women, according to this view, thrive when they can be in their feminine energy, openness, receptivity, playfulness.
So it's about a kind of polarity.
Precisely. And imbalance is seen as a problem. He gives this example, seeing couples in a mall where the woman's walking way ahead, like 5-10 feet.
Yeah.
And the man's just trailing behind, led by the nose, as he puts it. He sees that as her being in control, masculine energy, and it disrupts the attraction.
Mm.
He even shares a story about dating this, really successful, gorgeous woman who was very much in her masculine.
Okay.
And despite her looks, he found it was too much work because that polarity, that essential tension, wasn't there for him.
So the theory is this imbalance kills attraction over time, maybe even changes how people present themselves.
That's the argument, that couples might start looking alike, or women might adopt more traditionally masculine traits like cutting hair short, stopping makeup, because that feminine energy diminishes in the dynamic.
So for you listening, the takeaway here is supposed to be that a woman has this kind of invisible radar,
right,
constantly scanning for a man who embodies that confident, centered masculine strength,
right,
someone who feels safe and directional. But, you know, I can imagine some listeners thinking this sounds a bit rigid, maybe old-fashioned, especially with modern ideas about partnership and equality.
That's a fair point, and it's important to clarify how the book frames it. It's less about hierarchy, like who's in charge in a traditional sense.
Okay.
It's framed more as complementary forces. The idea isn't dominance, but that a man's strong masculine core allows a woman to relax more fully into her feminine.
Ah, so it's meant to enhance mutual enjoyment, not dictate strict roles.
That seems to be the intention presented. Distinct strengths working together to create that spark, that dynamic attraction.
Gotcha. Okay, another really bold claim in the book is, women don't lie, men don't listen.
Yeah, that's a provocative one.
It suggests there's this whole other layer of communication, like a secret language, and if you're not tuned in, you're missing vital stuff.
Right. And it raises the obvious question, why not just be direct? Why the subtlety?
Exactly. Why don't women just say what they mean?
Well, the author's argument is that often men have inadvertently trained women not to be direct.
How so?
By reacting poorly to straightforward rejection. You know, the guy who gets told I'm not interested and then badgers her with, what? Why am I not good enough?
Okay. So to avoid that confrontation.
Exactly. Women might resort to subtle cues, vague excuses, maybe even giving a phone number they know they won't answer, just to de-escalate in the moment.
Can you give an example of this subtle communication, maybe one of these tests the book talks about?
A classic one he mentions is when a woman says, oh, nothing's wrong, but you can clearly tell something is wrong.
Yeah, that happens.
The book interprets that not as dishonesty, but as a test. She's seeing if you care enough to, like, persist playfully, to gently dig deeper and find out what's really going on.
So you're not supposed to just take nothing at face value.
Not according to this. You're supposed to show you care enough to break through that initial barrier, demonstrate some emotional leadership. He talks about, you know, shutting off the TV, singing silly songs, playfully trying to get her to open up.
So it's about showing you're willing to lead emotionally, to understand her feelings.
That's the idea. It's framed as demonstrating genuine care beyond just surface level interaction.
That's, yeah. Okay. Definitely a different way to look at it. But how do you know if it's a genuine test versus she actually just isn't interested or wants to be left alone? Misreading that seems tricky.
That's a key challenge. The book emphasizes looking at her actions over time, not just isolated words.
Mm-hmm.
If her interest is truly low, she won't respond positively to that playful persistence. She'll likely withdraw further, shut down completely.
Right.
But if there is underlying interest, or if she's testing your resolve, she'll eventually respond. Maybe even appreciate the effort you made to truly understand her. It's about reading the whole picture, body language, overall vibe, responsiveness.
Makes sense. So, okay, moving from decoding these signals to actually, you know, dating. Mm-hmm. What are some of the practical strategies the book suggests? Some of them seem quite counterintuitive.
They definitely challenge common dating advice. Take the initial approach. He suggests just walking up, saying, hi, what's your name? And then waiting.
Waiting. For what?
Waiting for her to ask your name. The idea is if she asks back, it shows a higher initial level of interest or curiosity.
Interesting. Okay, so you're talking. Then what?
Then it's the 80-20 rule. Let her do about 80% of the talking.
Really? Most advice says share about yourself.
Not here, at least not initially. Keep your answers relatively short, light, humorous. Maintain some mystery.
What shouldn't you talk about?
Definitely avoid heavy stuff early on. No baggage about exes, no deep dives into politics or religion right away. Don't brag about accomplishments.
So the goal is just fun and comfort. Make her laugh.
Exactly. Encourage her to open up and feel good in your presence. And another big one, hold back on compliments early on.
No compliments. Why not?
The book argues it can make you seem needy, like you're trying too hard to win approval. It kind of steals her fun, her process of figuring you out.
Okay, wow. That's different. And then there's the whole managing interactions part, building anticipation. It sounds quite strategic.
Very strategic. After getting her number, the advice is wait 2-3 days before you call her.
2-3 days. Seriously.
Yep. Builds anticipation, shows you're not desperate,
yeah.
And the phone. Strictly for setting definite plans, dates, or appointments, as he calls them. No long rambling chats.
Okay, so use the phone to set the date. What about the date itself?
Initially, aim for weekday evenings. Keep weekends, the prime time slots, for later when her interest level is demonstrably higher, like 70-80%, according to his scale.
So making her earn the weekend slot, essentially, acts as a challenge?
That's the framing. It builds value and anticipation. And there's the takeaway technique, too.
The takeaway.
If she's flaky or noncommittal about plans, I might be busy, that kind of thing, you don't push. You withdraw the offer politely. Okay, no problem. We can do it some other time then.
Ah, so you signal you have options and aren't fixated on her.
Yeah.
Kiss her interest.
Exactly. It puts the ball back in her court. And then at the end of the date, there's the kiss test.
A kiss test. This sounds crucial.
It's presented as very decisive. You go for a kiss directly on the lips.
Okay.
If she turns her head, offers the cheek instead. The book says that indicates low romantic interest.
And the advice is?
Move on. Don't pursue further romantically. It's seen as a clear signal.
Wow. Okay. Mm. That's a very clear line in the sand. No ambiguity there.
Yeah.
What about when things progress physically, does the strategy continue?
It does, yeah. The same principle of building anticipation applies even during intimacy.
Gotcha.
Suggests moving slowly, lots of caressing, but also strategically, like backing off slightly at moments to heighten desire, build tension.
Okay.
And here's maybe the most surprising bit. If she explicitly says something like, I want you to come now.
Yeah.
The advice is not to obey immediately on command.
Wait, really? Why?
It's framed again as a test of the man's strength, his control, his ability to lead the interaction. The idea is that holding back, maintaining composure, can actually lead to a more intense experience for her, potentially allowing for multiple orgasms. But importantly, he does add a caution. Pay attention. Sometimes those commands might be subtle signals that what you're doing isn't actually working for her. So reading nonverbal cues remains critical.
Right. So it's not just blindly resisting. It's about still being attuned.
Absolutely. The overall goal of these strategies is to get to a place where she's clearly showing high interest, maybe even pursuing you, removing that doubt.
So you've navigated all that. You've won her heart using these principles. Is that it? Game over? Or does it change?
No, the book argues the courtship basically never ends. Complacency is the enemy.
Ah, so you can't just relax and assume everything's fine.
Right. He shares a story about himself, actually, how he got a bit high and mighty about his understanding.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend at the time had to call him out for being less affectionate, less present. He realized his own interest level in maintaining the dynamic had dropped.
So it was a wake-up call for him, too.
Exactly. To stay aware, stay engaged, and maybe even slightly underrate her interest level. Just to keep himself sharp, keep making the effort. Because attraction, he says, isn't static. It needs maintenance.
Okay, what about specific situations, like the classic dreaded question, do I look fat in these jeans?
Yeah, the book says there's no right direct answer there.
No.
Don't say yes, don't just say no.
So what do you do?
Instead of focusing on the jeans, redirect. Praise something related to her strength or healthy habits, like, honey, the jeans aren't important. What I find sexy is seeing you all sweaty coming home from the gym.
Ah. So you're indirectly encouraging the behavior you find attractive, aligning with her presumed desire to please you, assuming her interest is high.
Precisely. It sidesteps the trap and reinforces positive actions.
What about jealousy? If a woman mentions another guy, maybe tries to make you jealous.
Another test, according to the book, he gives this example. A man's wife tells him about an erotic dream she had involving a customer.
Ooh, tricky situation.
Instead of getting jealous or insecure, the husband supposedly responded, why don't you come here and show me what happened in your dream?
Whoa.
The book presents this as the superior man response. Confident, takes control, replaces the other man in the fantasy, essentially passing the test.
That's certainly a confident approach.
Mm-hmm.
The book also mentions 10 disciplines of love, inspired by Tony Robbins.
Yeah, for the long haul. Principles for sustaining things.
Like what?
Things like focusing on giving, not just taking, loving unconditionally, even through challenges, being present, cultivating playfulness. He uses the man as the rock, woman as his joy analogy again. And also the importance of loving truth, which means being vulnerable and honest.
So it's really trying to cover the whole relationship life cycle, from first meet to long-term happiness, with these consistent principles.
That's the goal, yeah. Lifelong practices, not just short-term tactics.
Okay, so these are the ideas from Corey Wayne's book, a very distinct perspective. But like we mentioned, the world's changed a bit since it was first published. How does this stuff land today, especially, say, on a college campus, with texting, Snapchat, hanging out, instead of formal dates?
Right, and that's where looking at that Reddit discussion is super insightful. You have actual college students talking about trying to apply these 3% man ideas in that environment.
And what's the verdict? Does it translate?
Generally, yeah, they seem to find the core principles sound, but agree they need adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just replicate the book's specific actions rigidly in that informal setting.
So the underlying ideas hold up, but the execution needs tweaking.
Exactly. Things like flirting a bit, being direct about your interest eventually, and valuing your own time, those still resonate. But the how changes.
Like, instead of calling after 2-3 days.
Right. They talk about texting to set up plans, but still keeping the texting itself minimal, brief, focused on logistics to maintain that mystery the book talks about, and moving fairly quickly to suggest actually meeting up, a hangout.
Which brings up that big challenge you mentioned, the difference between a formal date and just hanging out. That ambiguity seems common in college.
Huge point of discussion. How do you apply these principles when the lines are so blurred? The advice seems to be bridge the gap.
Oh.
You still aim for Corey Wayne's 3 H's, hang out, have fun, hook up. That sequence is still the goal. But the initial hangout needs to have clear romantic intent, even if the label is casual.
So instead of asking for a formal date, maybe frame it differently.
Yeah, like the Reddit thread suggests, hey, let's grab some food and then come back and watch whatever show. It's casual, fix the college vibe, but the intent spending one-on-one time, potentially leading somewhere, is clearer than just randomly bumping into each other.
So you avoid the cheesy romantic notion, as they put it.
Yeah.
But you don't fall into the friend zone by being completely ambiguous.
Exactly. Show intent, even with the casual label. It shows these principles can be relevant across generations. You just have to, you know, adapt the delivery method.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. It's certainly a compelling, if specific, perspective on relationships. It challenges a lot of conventional thinking.
Definitely. It offers this roadmap, this particular viewpoint on understanding attraction and connection, focusing on dynamics many people might overlook.
So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for you listening?
Well, it presents this idea of a journey, right? From potential insecurity or confusion to becoming a more confident, centered person, the 3% man, not just in dating, but maybe in life generally.
It's about owning your own strength, being clear on what you want.
And communicating in a way that, according to this philosophy, truly resonates with the feminine side of the dynamic.
So maybe the final thought for you to consider is this. The next time you're puzzled by a romantic interaction, or you're wondering how to maybe deepen a connection, think about these ideas. If you were to consistently apply these principles, the confidence, the strategic approach, understanding the underlying dynamics as presented here, what kind of transformation could your own relationships possibly undergo?
And maybe just as importantly, what kind of person might you become in that process? Something to think about.